I have been debating going to the movies by myself. For years, I have always put a negative sort of connotation on those that go to the movie theater by themselves. And it was something that I was very much against doing ever, really. But these days, I never go to the movies anymore. I've only been twice in the last 7 years. My wife, who, yes, is a dingbat, doesn't like to go to the movies at all. Like any genre movie that I suggest, she just gives me a face and I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to bother. So I end up not going to the movies. And yeah, I can bother friends, but you know the deal. You start to get in your 40s and you only have so many opportunities to hang out with your friends. And you probably don't want to waste it on a movie, right? And everybody has busy schedules and busy lives. And like even people that work here, we're all on different types of schedules. I'm working at night. Who's working during the day? And it's just, it's hard to sort of link up and sync up. And they're even like, well, I go to the movies with my kids. And you know the deal. Once people get kids, it's the excuse they use not to hang out with you anymore. Well, my kids, what about them? I was talking to my buddy the other day. He's like, oh, I can't go to the movies anymore because I have a young daughter. She's like, whatever, 1 or 2 years old. I can't go to the movies because it's a 3-hour movie and I have a little kid. I go, well, hold on a second, pal. You go play golf twice a week, which takes 6 or 7 hours if you put everything all in the one. So you don't want to go to the movies. Just tell me you don't want to go to the movies. That's okay. Don't give me the kid excuse. But people are at a wedding. They're like, oh, I got to leave early because my kids. No, you don't. You just want to leave early. And the kids are there as the built-in excuse. So I don't even want to ask people anymore. But I really don't want to go by myself. And the reason I bring this up is because the Odyssey has just taken over. It's become one of these, I feel like, cultural phenomenons where you can't go like 2 minutes without hearing about the movie. And I was a big fan of the movie Troy. And, you know, what do you want to call this? A sequel? It's obviously part of the Homer works, books, whatever you want to call them. It feels like something that would be right up my alley. And I took a call last week from a fella who gave me a very strong take. And his take was, if you see The Odyssey in IMAX, it is the greatest movie experience ever. That's a strong statement. And when I hear statements like that, it makes me want to go even more to the movies. And if I do go by myself, I will definitely go in IMAX. But that negative connotation. Like, let's all play a game, right? We are a family here on After Hours. Let's all play a game real quick. I'll do it like I'm doing a magic trick, like I'm a mentalist. We've never met before. I didn't see what you wrote down. And just, I don't know what you're talking about, right? Like, we've never met, and we never met, and we never met. It's like, you never met. You just, how could you? You're on camera right now. You met before you went on camera. We've never met before, though, right? Okay. And I'm showing you a piece of paper, and I can't see the piece of paper. But let me just take a peek at the piece of paper out of the corner of my eye. Let's all, on the count of three, you can use past hosts here, and you can use present hosts, any WFAN personality that you could possibly think of, okay? And let's all, on the count of three, whether you're in the car right now, whether you're home, wherever, on the count of three, we're all going to say the name together of the WFAN personality that we come up with, that we think is the type of person to go to a movie theater by themselves. All right? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3, Evan Roberts. That's the thing. You don't want to be in that boat. That's a tough boat to be in. Financially, yes, you want to be in Evan's boat. His career, you want to be in his boat. Socially, you don't want to be in his boat. I mean, he wrote it in his book, My Mets Bible, which you could pick up at Amazon or wherever. I don't know. They're probably selling it everywhere right now. They should be selling it at Citi Field, quite frankly. I mean, they gave Grimace a seat in Citi Field. Meanwhile, Evan has been sitting there for decades scoring baseball games. Give him a seat. Dedicate a seat to him and sell his book there while we're at it. But I remember, and I glossed through the book, I got to be honest with you. I didn't read every page, but I was glossing through it. And Evan tells the story about going over a buddy's house, or his buddy came over his house, and all his buddy wanted to talk about was chicks. Evan probably is more respectful than I am, said girls, but I threw the word chicks in there. Anywho, they talk about females. And Evan was sitting there scoring a baseball game instead of talking about it. It's like, okay. So, and you know I love you, but that's the boat I feel like I'd be in. And maybe that's just me being narrow-minded. Perhaps Evan is on the right side of history, and going to the movies by yourself is the right path. Now, if I do decide to do this, and I have to be real with everybody out there, I peel the curtain back like I've said a million times. I have looked for showtimes at IMAX. I've almost purchased tickets. I'm very close to doing it. But I think it's important to go, and this helps because, and this shouldn't be hard, I should say, because of my hours, although the weekend I don't work. You don't want to go on a weekend night by yourself. That you don't want to do. So it's more of a matinee type of thing, because I think you'll have other solo acts there, and so you're kind of like a community of solo people. Whether it's just because of your hours or you're a loser or whatever the case may be, you're going to the movies by yourself. But I'm this close, and I'm doing the thing with the fingers, with the thumb and the pointer finger, where you can only see a little bit of space. So I'm this close to doing it.
Does this logic only apply to movies? Like, would you go to a Met game by yourself?
I wouldn't go to a Met game with 17 people, and it has nothing to do with the Mets. I'm so out on going to sporting events, Nico. I that's why I, at one point, decided I might be the first ever sports gigolo or sports escort, where people would pay for me to go to the game with them. Because just the whole thing with commuting and all that stuff, it just, if it's a massive game, yes, I would. But just now, me going solo to games, I'm kind of out on that stuff. I did back in the day occasionally go to the bar by myself. Very rarely, though. You know, Uber there, Uber back, but that was only in dire straits. Like, I had a thirst. And that's why they call me Tommy Thirst Traps, because there are many Tommies. So if I was thirsting, if I was jonesing, I would go by myself. But it would have to be, like, desperation mode. Usually, I found a way to go out with a bunch of people. But a sporting event, yeah, I don't think I'd go solo, because I just, the commuting annoys me. I never have any traffic from my couch to my bed. On the 7 line, Nico, as you know, we're stuffed in there like sardines. It doesn't matter if it's the express train, if it's the local train. And 6 years ago, we had to be within 40 feet of each other. Now, we could be stuffed in a subway car like literal sardines coming back from a Met game. And it is, quite frankly, uncomfortable. And I'm not claustrophobic or anything, but it's just not enjoyable for me. So, if I did like going to games, let's put it that way, I would go solo as long as somebody hooked me up with the tickets.
What about like a sit-down restaurant? Would you go get something to eat?
Not at a nice place. No. In fact, when I see, when somebody is at a restaurant by themselves, and I'm talking like restaurant, not, you know, a place that where you could go solo, some place where it's obviously just either families or dates and someone's there solo, I don't know. It just makes me, and I shouldn't, this is probably my own hangups, but I feel like, what's their story? What's going on? Why are they by themselves? What are they doing here? They couldn't find anybody to go with them. So I, for one, would opt to just not do it than to do it by themselves. The only thing that I've done solo and very rarely was back in the day, go to a bar. And it was more of a bar that was more of like a lively atmosphere too, which is actually worse to go solo. You know, if you're going to a bar that's just more of a, you know, it's a bunch of old timers there and they have, you know, that permanent whiskey face and they're playing Keno, you know what I mean? And they tell you they listen to WFN all the time and you should be doing a daytime shift. You know, that type of bar, you go solo, it's not a big deal because everybody there is solo. I mean, like an upbeat, you know, fun place. I've done that occasionally solo because, you know what, sometimes, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. But yeah, the solo movie, and I could be on the wrong side of history on this. I could be. But I want to, as a social experiment, and I just want to see the damn movie. I've been able to avoid spoilers for weeks now, and I'm sure it's going to be out in the theaters forever. Like, a movie's doing this well, it's going to be out there for a while. So maybe I won't go in the next couple weeks, but at some point, let's just say before football season, I think I'm going to take the plunge and go to the movies by myself. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. You know, I feel like we hold everybody here accountable on After Hours, myself, the audience. I believe in never skipping the podium. And if you do skip the podium, you should be called out for it. And if you have a viable reason, we can always kind of do a little kangaroo court and figure out if we are buying your reasoning and whether you are exonerated in a sports type of sense. So I believe in accountability. You should have an accountability buddy. And you, the audience, are my accountability buddies. And apparently, I have contradicted myself in the last hour or so. I didn't notice it I'm curious to hear how I contradicted myself, and who better to put me in the chair of contradiction than the dentist himself. And quite the ladies' man, we found out recently. Quite the ladies' man. Really, we talk about the king of New York, and it is Jalen Brunson. But in a lot of ways, the original king of New York is Richard in Manhattan. Richard, what's going on?
Loogie, yeah. With all the finagling the Dodgers are doing,
yeah.
With all the stagnation that the Yankees have,
yeah.
With all their injuries, with all the guys, Wells and Chisholm, mm-hmm. and Grisham,
yeah.
and Volpe,
oh, yeah.
and all these guys that are not hitting, McMullen, yeah. The third baseman, McRyan, whatever.
McMahon.
Okay. And Jones,
yeah, yeah.
And the Dodgers are spending money, and Tariq Skubal, he's there, and the Dodgers are going all out. Yankees are running it back. They're not making any moves. Do you know what the difference in games between the Yankees and Dodgers is?
You're saying in terms of wins?
I'm talking about games behind. The Yankees are 5 games behind the Dodgers. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? 5 games!
Okay. But that's,
as bad as the Yankees are, okay, as we New York fans say.
I understand
say.
That, but in a 7-game series, and listen, I don't think the Dodgers, I'll be transparent, I don't think the Dodgers are winning the World Series this year. But that to the side.
Loogie, let me interrupt you. You're profiling. I'm not profiling. I'm telling you what's going on.
I'm profiling.
What are you
doing?
Don't project
that on
me.
Don't you put that on me,
Ricky
Bobby.
I'm looking at the standings, and all this work that the Dodgers are doing and that the Yankees are not doing, there's only a 5-game difference.
Right, but the point is that the Dodgers won back-to-back championships, and they're still looking to add, and they're still looking to get better, and the Yankees don't need to get even better because they haven't won the World Series in forever, and they lost to the Dodgers 2 years ago in the World Series.
Okay, that's all good, but let's see how it all plays out. Let's see, because you can only talk about what you see and what you see so far. And I don't see the Dodgers setting any records out right now.
No, they're playing poor baseball. There's no doubt about it. But you know what, though? The Dodgers have earned the right to kind of have a malaise during the regular season. And then when they need to turn it on in October, they can.
Okay.
They didn't have a great regular season last year. I mean, if they really wanted to, they could probably win 110 games every year.
No, I don't think so. I think it's very difficult
to
win.
How about 105?
It's a marathon.
How about 105?
The Yankees, like the Knicks, they just got to get healthy. The Knicks, the greatest attribute that the Knicks had in their playoff run was that they were healthy. If the Yankees mm-hmm. get back and get healthy, yeah. They'll be as fine as any.
You feel
now.
A lot more
they're
confident,
no.
Richard. Let me ask you a question, though, as a dentist. Would you say annual checkups on the teeth? Would you go biannual? Like, what should I be going to the dentist? Once a year, twice a year? Should I be going once every
once
year?
Is enough, but if you go twice, you can't lose. Twice is always okay. You know, don't let them take too many x-rays. Just make sure they check your gums and that you're not
leaving. What do you mean by that? What do you mean don't let them take x-rays? Are you trying to say they're going to...
No, not too many. Maybe once every 2 years.
What, are they going to hoodwink me on something? They're going to give me something that I don't need? Are they going to try to sell me something that I don't really need?
Well, you only need the x-rays. They're called the bite wing x-rays. Those loogie are the ones that tell if there's cavities in between the teeth.
I see.
You don't want to get cavities in between the teeth.
No, that doesn't sound good at all. No. So you would advise at least once a year... And maybe for those that have problem areas in the teeth to go twice a year.
Yeah. You never get hurt going more often because you're getting them cleaned. And when you get them professionally cleaned, it's always a
good thing. Now, I've always heard there's a negative because I'm not the greatest flosser when it comes to the standard floss, but I like to do these sticks. But my wife always tells me that those aren't really what I should be flossing with. Would you as a dentist agree with me or my wife?
No, the sticks are better than nothing. What I said last time, Loogie, applies. When you
right,
use
but I brought this
sticks,
back to her, Richard, and she said that, you know, the dentist is, well, don't take this as an offense, but she's like, no, the dentist is wrong. You shouldn't be using the sticks. She hates that I use the picks or sticks or whatever you call them for the floss.
What, the floss? You're talking about the sticks with the floss?
With the floss,
like
yeah, exactly.
No, that's fine, as long as you get the but
can
the
you get
danger,
deep,
Loogie, the danger is,
yeah.
If you have fillings in between, I mean, it's a long shot, but it does happen. When you put the floss stick in, the floss can only come out by up and down.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you have fillings in between,
right.
What you should really do is put the floss down, rub it against both sides of the teeth, in front and the back, and then slide it through. Because sometimes when you lift the string up and down, if it catches underneath the filling, especially the white fillings,
right.
They're not as smooth, it can lift it up. It can happen. It doesn't usually happen, but it can.
Let me ask
you
this, Richard.
You have no choice. You have to go up and down.
You have to go up and down. I think that's what I worry about a little bit. Let me ask you this as a dentist.
But you have fillings in between your teeth?
I'd have to double check on that. I had cavities as a kid and fillings, so I don't remember all that. I got to go through my medical history. But I would ask you this, being in the dentist field for, decades now, in your expertise, what's the percentage of people that actually correctly floss the way they really should? Like, what would you say the percentage is for the mouths you've looked at in the last 30 years?
Well, people with, high economic levels, high IQs, probably 80-90%. And the people, the working labor guy, the guy that just, those guys are maybe 30% of the time.
Okay, because I think it's more just about, like I was not, in the early stages, Rich, I wasn't the greatest of flossers, but I've gotten better.
But even if you don't floss well, it's still better than doing nothing.
You definitely don't want to do nothing.
Once you get the string in between, you're going to remove bacteria.
Yeah, the string in between. I think I like that. That really should be like the phrase for the Yankees for the rest of the year. The string in between. I love where you're going with that.
The Yankees are plugging away. They're going to be okay.
But what is okay, though, Richard? But wait on a second, Rich. If I go into your dentist office and you tell me, you're going to be fine, you're going to be okay, I don't think that's a vote of confidence. That makes me think that I'm going to be in serious trouble here with my teeth.
Well, you motivate the person by saying, just keep flossing, keep doing little by little.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
Right. Just hang in there. Show up like Woody Allen says, 90% of success is just showing up.
Well, that's
just show up, keep at it, don't quit, and they'll be okay. And the Yankees, look, they're 5 games behind the Dodgers. That's a good standard to be behind. I'll take 5 games behind the Dodgers for the next 10 years, all the way through the seasons, and we'll let the playoffs and the World Series, whatever shows up, shows up.
Richard, let me ask you one more question here, parting question here. It's a Manhattan question, because you've lived here forever. And you don't have to get into like gory details, but in your opinion, the greatest decade in Manhattan is what?
Oh, the 70s. The 70s were unbelievable. This is way before AIDS. You can go into Bloomingdale's and meet women. You can meet anyone in the street. Now, if you go up to a girl in the street, they'll call the cops on you.
Well, I don't know about calling the cops on you, Richard, but I certainly think they would be like, they'd give you a dirty look. I don't know about calling the cops on you. So you're telling me in the 70s, and Richard, we appreciate the call. I feel like Richard was sort of going down that pathway where I was like, all right, I got to kind of end the phone call. Because, Richard, if he flies too close to the sun on wings of pastrami, but you could just... The 70s was the greatest era here in New York because you can go into Bloomingdale's and meet women. That sounds... And were they working at Bloomingdale's? Because that'd be a pull. I tell my buddies this all the time. And I'm not saying it never works or never happens. But we all have guys like this and friends like this in our lives, right? I have one in particular. And it's worked for him at times, but at other times it hasn't. They are the type of guys that think, I'm going to go out and I'm going to pick up the bartender. I'm going to pick her up. Or I'm going to get the bottle service girl. I'm going to get her number. Or I'm going to get the stripper's number. It's like, no, you're not. Most, and I'm being generalizing, I think most of those people date people in their industry, right? Makes sense. They're not going to date you because you sit there and drink beer for 3 straight hours and they talk. That's their job to talk to you. That's their job. Any job where it's their job to kind of be flirty, they're just doing their job. We all have that guy and are like, I'm going to pick up the bar. And I'm not saying that they don't. I'm not saying they don't. And they can. And it's not ever successful. But there's some that, I know guys that literally go out and that's what they're trying to do instead of all the single girls that are at the bar. It's like maybe, if you're a regular at a place, perhaps, but I don't know. But that's a bar. I never thought of going to Bloomingdale's. I don't even know if Bloomingdale's are even around anymore. Is that where you used to buy like a women's brassiere? I'm trying to think of Bloomingdale's. What was really the big sell at Bloomingdale's? I don't know. The man's here, the bro. You know about the cup sizes, right? I built my whole life around knowing that D is the biggest. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. I just talked a little bit about potentially going to the movies by myself, which is a hot button topic. Anytime I've brought it up here the last week or two, we always get a big reaction on it. I apparently I've stumbled on something here because there's more people in our audience that do it than I even realized. And like I said, I've always attached a negative connotation to it. That could be a me thing. There's plenty of me things, trust me. And I might be on the wrong side of history on this one. So you, the audience, the After Hours audience, can enlighten me on the movie theater experience by yourself. Oh, and by the way, another reason why I don't like going to the movie theaters. because I've only been twice in the last 7 months. One of the reasons is because my wife's a piece of work. The other reason is the movie theater experience. So I grew up in the 90s. I was a, you know, I'm born in, when was I born? 80-something, 85, 86, something like that. I'm 41 in a couple of weeks. Send me some money, please. I grew up in the 90s going to the movie theater. And back in the day, it was so cool to go to the movies because not just to see the movie, but to see the trailers before the movie, right? There was no internet, or it was the early stages of the internet. Maybe you had like a beeper and you played Atari. That was like the coolest thing you were doing, or they had like Snake on the Nokia phone. So you would go to the movies to not only see the movie, but to see the trailers, to see the coming attractions. That was awesome. That was a big part of it. Nowadays, and I know not everybody is internet savvy and sees everything that goes on the world of the World Wide Web, but for the most part, I think generally, those that go to the movies now, we've seen all these trailers because of YouTube, because of Twitter, because of Facebook, whatever the case may be. So it's almost like don't even show them anymore because you get there, and I feel like now the previews last even longer than they used to. I remember going to a movie the last two times I've gone, and I think there was about an hour and a half of coming attractions, and then it's followed by Nicole Kidman telling me to silence my cell phone and where the soft drinks and refreshments are and the bathrooms. It's like, Nicole, I love you. You still have your fastball. Appreciate all the work you've done here as an actress. But I know where to buy the popcorn. If you've been to the movie theater once, you know the basic movie theater experience. It's not a Rubik's Cube. In fact, when you walk in, you literally are hit right smack in the face with the refreshments. And it's not hard to find the bathrooms. And I know to silence my cell phone. So I really don't need to hear from you after 3 hours of trailers and coming attractions, Nicole, for you to come on and say, please silence your cell phones. If you'd like to buy some Reese's candy, it is located in the lobby. There's only one room in a movie theater besides the theaters itself, and that's the lobby. Where else would it be located? In the basement? So this became very aggravating for me. So I just decided a long time ago that I'm just going to stop going to the movies. I don't like work, so I'm just not going to go anymore. Yeah, I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday. I just stopped going. But with this Odyssey movie, I'm getting the itch. I'm getting the itch. But the only way I'm going to go is by myself. Liam joins us from Oceanside. What's up, Liam?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
I just bought myself a ticket today to go see the Odyssey at the Lincoln Center IMAX by myself. I've been scoping out the tickets, and it's only been front row or wheelchair seats for the last few weeks. But today I finally found a seat in the fourth row, and I'm going to go see it by myself. I might also go with my family locally to see the standard release, but they say there's so many differences between the two versions that couldn't help myself. But yeah, thanks for taking the call.
But have you seen the movie yet, though, Liam? Yes or no?
No, not yet. I'm going this week for the
okay.
first time.
Okay, call me back. Don't obviously spoil it, but let me know how the whole entire... Now, do you often go by yourself or no?
I have a couple times.
Okay, call me back next week and just give me a little bit of an update on the movie itself, especially in the IMAX version of it.
Will do. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, you got it, bro. So there you go. Yeah, I've heard the same thing. It's totally different in IMAX than it is in, what, standard? Is that what they're calling it these days? Like, I used to be the biggest movie connoisseur. And you hear the show, you know, I drop references all the time. And you get it, you get it. If you don't get it, then move on. What's the difference? Oh, you didn't get a reference. Ooh, big deal. It's a word salad. So one of the, there's a vegetable in there you don't like. But I don't go anymore. And I don't really know the full experience anymore. But IMAX, I was looking the other day, and it's funny that you say that because the theater I looked at, I noticed that most of the seats were booked. And this was like a Monday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? I was like, what the heck is going on here? I had to do a double take. And I've been hearing that like people have had a hard time getting into this movie just because of the tickets being sold out. Over and over and over again. I used to go to the... And I'm not ashamed to say it, although, I mean, let's be real, that most of the people at this movie was probably a person that brought their cousin to prom. But I would go to the Midnight Madness. I think that's a thing. back in the day. So if a movie gets released, obviously they come out on a Friday, but for the nerdy movies, they would do it on a Thursday, like overnight, like after hours. And I, several times, used to do that. And yeah, there would be no girls, and there would be no guys there, obviously besides me, that can get girls. And so it was just one of those things where you'd look around and you go, what am I doing here? But, there was a reason I did it. Oh, well, my friend wanted me to go with him. No, it's just, I thought it was, I will say this. I've said a lot, but I'll say this as well. When you go to see movies like a Marvel movie or Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, and you are there with the geeks, I do appreciate the reactions to stuff. I do like that. I think it adds to it. Like, I'm not the biggest, first of all, the only time where I'm okay with talking at the movies, the only time during the movie, is if it's a scary movie. And even then, tread lightly. But it's part of sort of the ride and experience that everybody's a little bit nervous. Everybody has their own thresholds when it comes to horror. So I'm okay with people just having that nervous energy. And perhaps they're talking like, don't go around the corner. Or don't go inside. And by the way, they always go inside too. Because the people that are in these horror movies, the characters, they're always the biggest morons in the world, right? Like, they always, like, run upstairs. It's like, why would you do that? Maybe run, perhaps, I don't know, to the police station. Why are you running upstairs when the guy is chasing you with a chainsaw? Does that seem like a good idea? You know, the hot blonde that was babysitting, she always makes the worst decision when the scary people come to kill her, right? She never makes the right call. And somebody trusted her with their kids. Think about that. Speaking of that, and I don't know if she was babysitting, but I've gone on record with this stuff when it comes to horror movies, because I'm a huge horror movie fan. My wife literally will not. We talk about her not going to the movies. I could drag her to, like, I don't know, 16 hours straight of Star Wars movies before she would ever step foot in a scary movie, horror movie. She will never, ever, ever refuses. We've been married, I don't know what, like 8 years? We've been together for like 10 years. Don't remind me. But she will not ever see a horror movie. But I love them, although I am terrified of them. The scariest movie to me of all time, if you consider this a horror movie, and I think it's up for debate if it is, but if it is horror genre, to me, the scariest movie of all time is Jaws. The most scared I've ever been after watching a movie, speaking of, attractive blondes, quite frankly. I don't know if she was babysitting, though. I'm speaking about Drew Barrymore, of course, and that is Scream. I saw that movie, and I was right at that age. I was like 13, 14, and dude, I think I just went to bed last night for the first time. I couldn't sleep for like 20 years after watching that movie. Now they've bastardized the sort of franchise, and they've made too many of the movies, like they usually do with everything in Hollywood. When they have something good, they just, you know, beat it to death. But the original Scream, classic, super scary. I could not sleep that night. And, you know, put the nightlight on, Mom. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll mix in some sports here. What do you say? Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. He wants to talk about the Yankees. What's going on, Mario?
Well, yeah, what's happening, my man?
Hey,
everything good?
What's happening?
I like your stories.
Thank you.
They're very funny, very interesting.
Thank you.
You know, in terms of the Yankees, let's look at what, the Dodgers did all that stuff you said, and now they're on a 6-game losing streak. So we'll try to figure it out, you know?
Yeah, I think it's 162. It's just the malaise of the year sometimes. When the chips are down, the Dodgers are going to be a very difficult out. We all know that.
And let's understand, they probably should have lost last year.
Yes.
That went to a seventh game, and
Toronto
was about ready to win.
Yeah, they were on the ropes twice,
right?
There.
I mean, so it wasn't like they dominated last year. They should have lost, and we'd be having a completely different conversation now. You know, so let's see what happens. Now what I wanted to say in terms of the Yankees running it back, they really weren't running it back. Let me explain why. Gerrit Cole was out all of last year. They were getting him back. So you're getting back a Cy Young Award pitcher that's not running it back. You didn't have him the year before.
Right.
Now, Schlittler only pitched half a year. Now he's starting off pitching a whole year. So that's not running it back. That's two immensely talented pitchers.
You know what it is, though, Mario? And maybe I should, when I say this, I should preface it, because you bring up a fair point. running back the offense. And the offense, to me, with the Yankees, and we're seeing it now, and we've seen it a lot in October, that tends to be their undoing. So I think running back the positional players, the offense, sort of the vibes in that clubhouse, that has been my sort of critique on their offseason.
But listen, before Bellinger and Judge got hurt, they were leading the league in offense.
Yep. No, that's
so
fair.
But
they do have a lot of problem areas. I think we could agree on that. Catcher, third base, not anymore, but shortstop, okay. Center field. So that's a lot of positions that are pretty much dead out.
Can I make one point about catcher?
Of course.
That a lot of people don't realize. Catcher is a very intricate position. You have to have a very good connection with the pitchers. Those three pitchers that the Yankees have Cy Young capabilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
They like him.
Right.
They like Wells. So you're not going to get just somebody who hits and who's average defensively, and those pitches are going to automatically.
Right.
I don't want to break. I'm not going to break that up.
Yeah, but what about having a catcher on this team so you don't have Ollie Sanchez up there in a big spot last night? So if you had brought in another catcher, he could platoon with Wells.
Yeah, you're right with that. But they should have never taken out that other guy, and he wouldn't have been in there.
Luis Garcia Jr., Mario, which I criticized Aaron Boone about. You know, I think that's the first time a caller ever said I was right. That made me feel good. Usually they just say I'm funny, I'm entertaining, or they hate me. Very rarely does a caller say I was right about something, which is good to hear. I mean, perhaps I haven't been right ever, which is fair. I'm not paid to be right or wrong. I'm just paid to, I don't know, to sit here. But no, I'm paid to entertain. But I like that you said I was right. And I feel like I was right there. That was one of those ones where I felt like I was right. You know what I mean? I felt like I should, you know, I really got the point across. Like I needed to smoke a cigarette after that one. I was like, well, maybe a little vape, maybe a little watermelon ice. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Antonio joins us from Hell's Kitchen. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, Tommy. Listen, I just wanted to tell you, just to give you some perspective about, you know, going to the movies alone, doing things alone. You know, life is short. And, you know, the problem is sometimes to get our friends to agree to do something with you is like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially if they're married. Yeah.
Yeah, especially if they're married or what have you, or they got, you know, other plans.
Yep.
You know, life is short. So my suggestion is don't care about what people think. Go to the movies by yourself. Go to museums and galleries by yourself. Go travel the world by yourself. Do everything in life that you can, because it's a very short trip. You know, it's a very short trip.
No, you're right about that. You should do the things in life to a degree that you want to do, and you shouldn't let things like that. And that's why, Antonio, I'm going to go see it by myself. Like I had a negative connotation for it for years, but I'm going to break through that to go see this movie, The Odyssey.
Good for you. And so I had one sports question I wanted to ask you. So at the end of the Knicks final, when Ananobi threw that ball, do you know who got that ball by chance?
No. No, I don't. I do
okay.
not. I didn't look up. I got to be honest with you, Antonio. Things of that nature. So that whole situation was such a blur to me. That whole run now is just, it was euphoric. And it was just so magical and memorable, but also in many ways, and I say this like forgettable, if that makes sense, because it's just like you were just in this trance for a couple of months. And I like almost daily think about it or try to recount, like I'm talking like it's 40 years ago, but still like you just, to experience for the first time in my life the Knicks winning a championship and also being on the air and being on the greatest radio station in the world and hosting up against these games and being on right after the game. And, you know, of course, I was on the air for that great comeback and I was on the air with Gallo for when the Knicks won the championship and all of these things that I got to experience as a fan and also as a radio host was very rewarding for me, not only as a fan, but also in my career. I thought it was my finest moment. Perhaps for a lot of you out there, you wish it was my last moment. I love when people make comments on social media about me. It's like 888-808-1019. It's just call me up and we can have a conversation about it. What the heck? Yeah, I mean, seriously, just talk to me about it. It's okay. It's all right. I'm probably going to yell at you and hang up on you, but then it'll be fun. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We need to take a hydration break, much like the World Cup. It was very hot today. So, because in radio, you never want to say we're going to break. The upper management can't stand that. They're like, don't say you're going to break. Meanwhile, I think our audience is smart enough to know that we go to break, but whatever. You never want to say, What? Because you notice hosts, they're very, like, they never say, we're going to break. They say, is Justin Herbert spending too much time with Madison Beer on the field and then training camp? We'll find out next. You know, they'll tease something. I just tell you what's coming up next. Quite frankly, I think I'm creative, but I'm not that creative to come up with fun teases. Also, you, the audience, you know we're leaving for a couple minutes, but we got to get a drink. What do you think? I'm up here for 6 straight hours? I got to go to the bathroom at some point, and I need a drink of water. And I got to scroll Instagram because I didn't unfollow Sydney Sweeney or Ella Langley yet, which I've been meaning to do. I put it on my calendar, so at some point this century I will do that. And we will get back and take your calls. We'll do some Ask Tommy Anything later on in the show, which is your opportunity to ask me whatever you want. That's your once-a-week chance to... It doesn't have to be sports, but it can be. And we will do that coming up later in the show. We'll get into the Giants. We'll get into Odell Beckham Jr. We'll get into the Jets. Apparently, Geno Smith had a very good day at practice. So there's a lot of football I want to get into throughout the course of a big Lugowski here, which is a five-hour after hours. So that means we're rolling all the way till midnight tonight. So plenty of time to take your calls, plenty of time to talk football, talk baseball, and talk about life, whether it's going to the movies alone or flossing. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. It was a great series for the Mets out in Cleveland. Carson Benj was an absolute monster in the series. And Carson Benj is, look, I understand where the Mets are at right now. And so I use the word quietly when I say this. Carson Benj is quietly putting together a 20 homers, 20 stolen bases rookie campaign, which is very impressive. The defense is awesome. Just breathtaking. I mean, it feels like every week Benj is having a catch that is so dramatic and so spectacular that Gary Cohen whips out a word that just makes me feel dumber. He uses a serpent to pollutilus. And I'm like, what? That sounds like an organ or something. I'm like, I've never heard that word in my life, but I do know that Carson Benj can go after it. And whether it's the defense, whether it's the power, whether it's the stolen bases, there's a lot to like about Carson Benj's game. And he's really hitting a stride now as we've gotten into August. Batting in the middle of the order. That shot he had the other night to basically dead center or a little maybe left of dead center, if you're looking at it. I guess it depends on where you're sitting. So it could be left or right. So either way, you wouldn't be wrong when you said it. But he hit the ball over the fence. That's the bottom line. And he hit it hard and he hit it far. Now, I'm not the biggest... The advanced stat people, that's fine. You know, you can go down that route. That's cool. But I'm more just the ball sounded like it was hit very loudly and went very far. And I'm more of that than I am an exit velo or launch angle or anything in that case. But I am very impressed with the way Carson Benj is handling himself, the way he is producing. And along with A.J. Ewing and, of course, Juan Soto, you're looking at this outfield now, the three guys that are going to roam this outfield for many, many years to come. And that's something to be really excited about. And Benj has just been absolutely dynamite. And like I said, quietly, but when it's all said and done here, 2020 should be well within reach. 20 homers, 20 stolen bases. And for that, as a rookie, that is very, very impressive. And there's a lot to like about Carson Benj, not only presently, but also in the future. And that goes for the entire outfield. Now, as far as the sit-down, and it's funny, I think that was the word they use in ESPN. When I hear sit down, it's like, well, is Tony Soprano involved? I mean, is Freddie Peralta had a sit down with Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor? So basically, Freddie Peralta is Tony Soprano, and Soto and Lindor are Paulie Walnuts and Ralphie? 10 G's for an alarm code? 2 tops. Heist, felony, a lap. I have to... When I quote The Sopranos, really, I earn my money because I have to take out half of the actual dialogue because it is offensive and there's a lot of curses. So I have to be, and then sometimes they say words in Italian that I always wonder, like it's funny. You can't curse on the radio, but what if I curse in Italian? Is that okay? Are we going to get dinged for that? Or say, because I'm always like, I used to hear my grandparents say this word all the time, but I'm like, I don't think. You know, what they said at the barbershop or in our house, I don't think the FCC would want to hear that on the radio. So I always tread a little lightly with that to the point where sometimes I do say the word and I go, oh boy, is that a bad word? And I look it up. I'm like, it's not that bad. It's okay. I'm all right. But whenever I quote The Sopranos, I have to tread lightly. But anyway, you think of sit down, you think of The Sopranos, but that's reportedly, and at least Francisco Lindor confirmed it, Juan Soto didn't, but apparently Freddie Peralta, who everything you heard about Freddie, and obviously we talk about him now in the past tense because he's with Tampa, is that he's a great guy, great clubhouse guy, has, you know, the barbecues at his house, you know, great leader, and he showed a ton of leadership here by having this sit-down, this meeting. And look, I think chemistry is overblown when it comes to baseball. I really do. It's not basketball. Like, the Knicks won a championship because of chemistry, continuity, cohesiveness. That's why they are the reigning, defending, undisputed champions of basketball. When it comes to baseball, yeah, it'd be great if everybody loved each other. But ultimately, it is a individual sport played in a team sort of format. You know, Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor don't have to like each other. They don't have to have chemistry in order for the Mets to succeed and win championships. They don't. Now, what you don't want is the locker room to be toxic and their relationship to be so uncomfortable that it sort of bleeds over to your young players. I mean, you have Ewing, you have McClain, you have Benj, you have Thornton, you have Scott. More young players on their way up. And the last thing you want is sort of an uncomfortable atmosphere because it kind of sets a bad tone for younger players who are impressionable. But otherwise, they don't have to be best of friends. I mean, I know that story came out in the offseason. I think it was Mike Pumo had it where, paraphrasing, but essentially Francisco Lindor, because he's into fashion and Juan Soto cares more or is more into baseball than he would be fashion. So on a Saturday night in the offseason, Francisco Lindor would rather go to Paris, which is rich people, like Tiki would say this, Paris, which is Paris. I mean, it's rich person for Paris. Or they want to go to a fashion show, the Met Gala, and not the Metropolitans. I mean, the actual Met Gala that they have in the spring. And that's what Lindor wants to do on a Saturday night. How fast can you have your bags packed for Milan? I got a meeting with Dolce & Gabbana. I mean, that's basically what Francisco Lindor is doing on a Saturday. And Juan Soto, in the offseason, and Juan Soto wants to go to a batting cage. Okay. They don't have to be the best of friends. They don't have to share outside interests. And I can't speak to any type of heat they would have culturally or anything like that. But what I can say is that they don't have to be the best of friends. And all it takes is other leaders or a manager to step in and just sort of broker that relationship and get to the point where it is just amicable. And they respect each other, and that's it. They don't have to go out for cappuccino after the game. They could both go to the movies by themselves like I'm about to do, and it's totally fine. When you're losing, when you have what happened last year and now what has happened this year, stuff like this gets more attention and a little bit more overblown because the X's and O's of the game are less of a thing, and it's more about, well, there must be an issue, and that issue must be causing them to lose, and when we all know that isn't the case. You don't want a locker room or a clubhouse that is impressionable on young kids, and it could potentially sort of give them a bad taste in their mouth and a bad view on the big leagues and the relationships that are involved with teammates. But otherwise, it's an individual sport. That's what it is. It's not basketball. It's not where I have to know where you're going to be and you have to know where I'm going to be and we have to pass each other the ball. And, you know, it's okay if, you know, it becomes high school just a little bit. And if, you know, Juan Soto wants to create a rumor that Francisco Lindor has cooties or something, it's not a big deal. And everybody laughs at Francisco Lindor when they're eating Sloppy Joe's in the... Where would we eat when we were in high school there? I probably should have wrote that joke out. I don't really remember. Oh, like cafeteria. That's the word. Okay, I forgot that. Yeah, I should have wrote that. I don't write anything down. I just kind of talk all the time. But people think I jot stuff down. I do. I will say this. I do have show notes, but I never look at them. Like the notes I have written down for me tonight, I have literally written Hillary Duff concert, Ask Tommy Anything, The Many Tommies, My Sweat Was Sweating, Movies by Myself. That's what I wrote down. Those are the notes. Those are the bullet points. So really, we do, you know, we do a lot of show prep here. But the relationship between these two fellows, Soto and Lindor, I think the idea that they are now on at least some type of same page is what's best for business as far as just for the young players and stuff. But I don't think it has any type of bearing one way or the other on the success of the team. I really don't. I'm sure there have been plenty of teammates through the years across all the major sports or any sport that have had guys in the locker room that they don't get along with and they don't like. You know, there are cliques everywhere. You know that. Any office, any form of entertainment, Families have cliques. I mean, cliques exist. As long as it's not to the point where there's a line in the sand, so to speak, and it's, well, Team Lindor versus Team Soto, things of that. That's, and I wouldn't think it would be here because you got a lot of young players who probably don't care one way or the other as far as siding with one. You know, maybe with a veteran group, that might be more of a sort of baseball civil war, so to speak. But that's good on Freddie Peralta. And it says, and look, I was very much on board with the Peralta trade in the offseason. This past offseason, I was open to an extension if everything went well with Freddie Peralta. I was always a fan of his from afar. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. It was a disappointing run, to say the least, with the Mets. But he was able to put this together. That's good. And hopefully he left a lasting impression on both of those guys. And now I think to take it a step further, you hire the right manager to keep the peace between two of these guys. Assuming that it is that way, because I don't know if it's one, because let's be honest, I mean, it basically was confirmed that McNeil and Francisco Lindor used to basically punch each other in the face. So I don't think anything like that's going on. Just because Juan Soto doesn't want walk the red carpet on a Saturday night with Francisco Lindor, I don't think that automatically means they're at each other's throats. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to your calls in just one second. I see a full rack here. I want to get to the audience. I don't want to feel like you call. You don't get a chance to speak to me. I got you till midnight, so plenty of time. We'll get to everybody coming up in the next segment. If you want to join the conversation and you haven't already, 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the Late Night After Hours here on The Fan.